Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On 76ers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia 76ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Happy Thursday to you. Make this a enjoyable day. You know the good thing about Thursday that I like is the only day that I really get to watch college football and pro football for that matter, just because, you know, the Sixers don't play on Thursdays, or they really haven't in the last 2 weeks. Basically, it's like a travel day, so I get back home. You know, I go pick my daughter up from school, which is great. And then I just go home and watch football for like a quarter. And then I fall asleep on the couch. And I got to get up in the morning and watch SportsCenter at like 4 a.m. So when I go to the Sixers practice facility on Friday, I confront like I watched the game. I don't even know who's playing tonight, but I know that's what I typically, what I'm going to do. Just going to sit there and fall asleep, get up the next morning at 4 a.m., and then I'm going to walk in there on Friday. Well, actually, the Sixers play on Friday, tomorrow, and I'm going to say to Bob Cooney, "Hey, Bob, did you watch the game?" "I did." So, Bob, yep, I lie all the time about that. But, hey, y'all could care less about me and my lies about college and pro football. What you want to talk about is the 76ers. I get it. Wow. You know what? I learned something about the Sixers. And, hey, I knew this for the last couple of years. But I tell you what, this season, they really know how to lose games. Really know. The Sixers lost again. They lost Wednesday night. They lost 122-115 to the Indiana Pacers here in Indianapolis. Man, it was another game that the Sixers had a lot of opportunities to win. I mean, this game was kind of like crazy. I mean, typically when you see the Sixers play, you always say to yourself, I know they're up by a lot, but this team is going to come back. I know that Joel Embiid is a beast, but this team is going to come back. Man, I just saw Hollis Thompson hit another three, but this team is going to come back. I wasn't saying that on Wednesday night. I honestly thought that the Sixers were going to win this game. Here's my reason. The Pacers looked disinterested. The Sixers had phenomenal ball movement. They also were basically playing team. I mean, you know, with the ball movement, they were playing team ball. They were extremely balanced. You know, they had some couple flaws, like Sergio Rodriguez really struggled. He had 2 points on 1-for-14 shooting. But when you look down at it, you see Robert Covington. I mean, he didn't look like the guy who was struggling in the last couple weeks to make a shot. You know, Robert Covington has 23 points. You have Hollis Thompson coming off the bench for 19 points. Gerald Henderson has 17 points. Jahlil Okafor, 15 points. Dario Saric, 14 points and 12 rebounds. TJ McConnell comes off the bench and scores 9 points. Rashawn Holmes comes off the bench and scores 7 points. So it was an extremely balanced affair, right? Then all of a sudden, the normal Sixers come out late in the fourth quarter. The Sixers are up 106-100 with a minute 35 seconds left in regulation. Indiana comes back with 7 straight points and take a 107-106 lead with 30.8 seconds remaining. But then all of a sudden, Gerald Henderson hits a 3-pointer to give the Sixers a 2-point lead with 5.9 seconds left, right? So you're saying to yourself, like, man, they got this. Okay, so they blew the 1 lead. Now they have the lead again. So you're like, they're not going to blow this one. I know what they did before. But on this day, the Sixers are going to win. They're going to win. You know what? They're not going to leave. They're not going to leave Paul George, the All-Star, open. They're not going to allow him to get the ball. What happens? Paul George hits a long two-pointer. They call the timeout. Paul George comes out and hits a long two-pointer, and the game is tied with 3.9 seconds left. And you're saying, wow. So then they give Sixers come down. They give the ball to Jahlil Okafor. It was a nice play. He does a fadeaway, and he misses it as time expires. Sixers go in the overtime, and at that particular time, I knew the game was over because they let Indiana off the hook. Like, Indiana played as if they'd rather been at a bowling party in the first half. The second half, they got it together a little bit. But once I knew the game was going to overtime, I knew that it was over. Just because Indiana was like, look, man, we let these dudes hang around for too much. We got to do something. Well, the Sixers didn't show up in the overtime. Dario Saric made the first basket of the OT to put the Sixers up. 111-109. That was the last shot the Sixers made. They went on and missed their final 8. They shot 1-for-9. Whereas Paul George scored 7 points in the overtime en route, to finishing with 28 points. He ended with 28 points, 8 rebounds. Jeff Teague had 30 points and 9 assists. Now, when I saw him, I'm thinking of myself like, Jeff Teague is the guy who the Sixers talked about they wanted to trade for. Atlanta was going to give him to the Sixers, or, you know, they were talking about him, you know, giving him to the Sixers. Well, the Sixers stopped calling, you know, because I guess, you know, a lot of people saying, why do we want Jeff Teague? You know, we need to get a younger point guard. Well, Jeff Teague would really help this team right about now. I mean, if you think about it, you know, it would have been good for Okafor or Noel, who would have been involved in that. You know, either player would have been involved in that trade. They wouldn't have to be backups here. It would have been a good place for them to be on a winning team. Like, you know, you can make a case the second best team in the East, the second or third best team in the East, like, when it's all said and done. And then you would have had Jeff T. You would have had a solid point guard. But again, I get it. You know, I know what this is all about. The Sixers, you know, they have Ben Simmons and they also have Gerald Bayless. Both players are injured. But if they were healthy, you know, a lot of people probably say, like, hey, we don't need Jeff T. Pompey. Just go talk about your Thursday night college and pro football and leave us alone. But again, to get back to the game, it's like the Sixers blew another opportunity, man. They just blew it. And you know, there was a couple things, and we asked Brett Brown about it, you know, after the game. Like, 2 things that really stood out to me was Sergio Rodriguez. Like I said, Sergio had 2 points. He shot 1-for-14. But he played 31 minutes and 21 seconds. You know, he did have 2 steals. He had 2 turnovers with that. But he was no match for Jeff Teague. None whatsoever. You know, and I'm not going to sit here and say that T.J. McConnell can defend Jeff Teague and T.J. McConnell is this and that. However, T.J. McConnell, like I said, he had 9 points on 4-for-7 shooting. Right? He had 5 assists. They both had 5 assists. McConnell and Sergio. T.J. had 1 steal. He had 2 turnovers. Both of them had 2 turnovers. But I don't know, man. T.J. was the one who was making shots on this day. And I think that I would have probably had him in there. Another thing was Hollis Thompson. Hollis Thompson was on fire in the fourth quarter. Hollis scored 10 points. He scored 10 of their 25 points in the quarter. He was a big reason for the Sixers coming back. Well, in the overtime period, he didn't start the overtime period. He came in the final 37 seconds of the overtime. By that point, the game was all but decided. You know, Brett Brown, you know, we asked him, he gave his reason, and he said that it was one of those things where he wanted to get two defenders, you know, better defenders on the floor. Gerald Henderson and Robert Covington, who are, you know, solid defenders for the Sixers. And he also said that Hollis was a little fatigued. Now, Hollis didn't practice yesterday, and I get that. And he hasn't, you know, he's been limited in some of the practices. So, you know, you get that a little bit. But, man, I mean, I think that if they had to do it all over again, they would have said, look, Hollis, you're going to have to go out there. Whenever there's a timeout, we're going to give you an oxygen mask or whatever. But you need to be out there because, you know, you're shooting. And, you know, to me personally, when a guy sits, he plays, he's hot, and he sits for as long as he sat in that overtime period and you bring him in there, he's basically no good to you. I mean, because he basically lost his rhythm. You know, he lost his rhythm. But, you know, the Sixers, they have the Pacers on you know, tomorrow, on Friday. And they'll have Joel Embiid back. So maybe their chances will get better. But, you know, you have to think that maybe the Pacers are going to say, look, this was a reality check. You know, the Pacers are 4-4. They have a superb roster. They're basically underachieving at this point. And, you know, the Sixers, you can't lose to the Sixers right now. This is, if you're trying to be a playoff team, this is a game that you have to say this is a guaranteed win. Something for me to, you know, your team to move forward. They have to do that. So I think that they'll probably come out harder. And even though the Sixers will have their best player back, you know, I don't know, man. Who knows? They could prove me wrong if they have before. But, you know, I just think that this is going to be an extremely tough task for them to get them back, because now they got a team that knows that, hey, we got to, you know, punch the Sixers in the mouth, so to speak. Now, for Sixers coach Brett Brown, this loss was a milestone. It's not exactly the type of milestone that he would have liked to get, but you know what? It is what it is. You know, with the loss, you know, Brown is now all alone for the most coaching losses in franchise history with 206. You know, before Wednesday's game, he was tied with Larry Brown. You know, the fact that he was close with Larry Brown for losses is not a positive sign, because, you know, Larry coached the Sixers for 460 games. Brett Brown only coached them for 253, and his record is 47-206. But, you know, when you break it down and you see it, you know, see what it's all about. I mean, the stuff that it should be an asterisk next to it, just because the team was tanking for 3 years, you know. It wasn't like they were trying to win. You know, there were certain games where he tried to win, but when you look at the roster, it was a team made up of a lot of fringe players. Now they have some of the people who they want. The team is also injured. You know, so it's really like, you know, as much as people want to criticize him and say stuff, he doesn't have a team built to win. Now, again, there have been some instances where you can say, like, you can make an argument and say, like, well, you know, maybe they could have won these games. Maybe they could have, you know, had a better, you know, coaching effort. And people are going to criticize him for that. He knows that. He said that. You know, he said that comes with the territory. But, you know, it's like you would really like to see what he can do with a full complement of players, you know. But I think maybe what he does is I think that he, right now, he's a little pressing and he may be coaching a little too much, if that makes sense. And what I mean by that is he could be micromanaging things, you know, just, you know, they're so desperate. They want to get this win, and he's probably doing that. But there have been some instances where, like, for instance, where people are going to question him, like, hey, you know, Sergio is struggling, TJ McConnell is balling. You know, you got to take a point where one guy just sits for a little bit. And then also, you know, Hollis Thompson is on fire. You know, you got to get him out there on the floor. You have to. But, you know, he gets it. He understands it. You know, he explained it. And an argument for Sergio is that maybe he feels like, you know, he's his best ball handler and you have to go with him. So, you know, it is what it is. We'll find out. But I tell you what, you know, the Sixers need to hurry up and get a victory. The mood in the locker room it wasn't very bright. It was quiet in there. Guys had that blank stare, so to speak. The frustration is hitting these guys sooner than it has in the past. And I don't know if it's because you got a couple guys on the team last year and the year before that, and it's just like, is wearing them down. They also know that this team isn't tanking. They know that they have more actual NBA caliber type players on the team than they did in seasons past. So it's kind of like, look, man, we shouldn't be losing like this. And it could be that they realize, like, hey, we could have easily been 4-3 at this particular time, but we keep blowing leads at the end of the game. So, you know, there's a lot of factors, but the word frustration is coming out a lot. When you ask guys how they feel, they say, hey, we feel frustrated. You know, Dario Saric was like, it's frustrating. He talked about how the guys practice. He talks about how hard they practice. They talk about how, you know, they go in there and the games are trying to give their all, give 100%, and then it's the same result, you know. Jahlil Okafor was a little frustrated because he felt as if that this was a game that they had, a game that they should have won. He's right. So he's a little disappointed about that. Gerald Henderson also talked about that this was a game that they should have won, that they kind of beat themselves. So, you know, the good thing for the Sixers is that they get to play, they have an off day, they come back on Friday. And they get to play the team that they just lost to. But the bad thing is that Indiana is probably thinking the same thing. Hey, we just barely beat this team. You know, we have a dynamite roster. We're 4-4. We need to get some real solid wins. You know, don't leave any doubt. So whereas the Sixers are motivated, they're just as motivated. Then after that, the Sixers go to Atlanta and Houston. So it's going to be tough for them. It's going to be tough for them, you know, these next three games. But, you know, we'll see. But like I said, the one thing we learned about the 76ers is, like, the Sixers sure know how to lose games. man, they're going to have to do something. They're going to have to, you know, make some adjustments. They're going to have to play. And for this upcoming game, I want to see how they play with Embiid. I want to see if it's going to be a more balanced attack, because the two games that he didn't play, it was extremely balanced, extremely balanced. You know, the game in Charlotte and this one. So, now, don't get me wrong. He is their best player, and he's better. They're better. Well, the offense is more. I mean, the offense relies on him having the ball when he's in his hands when he plays. But, you know, I would really want to see if they can have a balanced attack when he plays, as opposed to him and Ersan Ilyasova having great games and everybody else just there. You know, everyone else just there. Now, one thing is, we're talking about Ilyasova. He had his second sort of subpar game. He had 6 points this game on 2-for-6 shooting. You know, initially, you know, I was saying this guy was, you know, was going to be a great addition. He still can be, but I think that he needs to just shoot the ball a little bit better. I think teams know that how good he is, and they know that they have to stop him, and they have been. But the Sixers are going to need him to be a little bit more consistent if they are going to win a game anytime soon. But I just want to thank y'all for joining me, and have a great day.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.